Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I'm Tommy Bong. He's Danny Tokes, and this is the Stash. Dude, it's weed
What's
day.
What's up, my guy?
What is
it's
up?
It's a weed day. It's always a weed day. Every day is
always
a weed day.
That's right. That's right. It's hump day.
Yeah. Yeah, hump day. I never really understood
hump day,
that.
Guys.
I get it halfway through this fucking week, and you get over this hump for the week, but fuck that. I just don't hump on hump day.
You know what killed me with it? Was those stupid commercials with the camel.
The camel, right.
Like, you don't remember the camel commercials
a
few years
I'm
back?
Saying, no,
like,
I remember the camel commercials.
Yeah,
and then the funniest thing in the world, and really, it was stupid as shit. Yep.
I don't even know if it was funny the first time I heard it. Like, I can't even remember it being funny the first time. Because you know how some things is funny the first time kind of dies out after you hear it so many times. Yeah, I don't even remember.
Oh yeah, like what?
Yeah, see, that was funny the first time, and then it died out when they put it in like scary movies.
Not a 400 time. Oh yeah. Yeah. Or when every like white guy that drank Bush beer and thought he was like the toughest shit in the world was like, what up? And you're just not impressed with his personality nor his choice in cars, life, women, just general. I just hated those assholes.
I feel like you're talking about me right now, and I'm just kidding.
No, not at all. You were never a douchebag. I mean, you were a douchebag, but not like that.
Yeah,
kind
I was
of
a
douchebag.
Douche.
You know, you didn't wear like Axe body spray and fucking wear a visor to the side and. No.
That is true.
You know
that is true. I couldn't pull that off, though. I mean. I had the meatloaf going on, so I don't know if I could pull that one off.
Yeah. If you had have had the personality of, like, a brick, maybe. But you were always pretty chill, you know, growing up. You were,
sometimes.
You know, obviously, if you were chill.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
I did a lot of growing up over the years. Let's just go with that.
In a generation fed Ritalin and Adderall, you were the one kid that was like, "I'll just smoke a joint."
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
yeah,
no, that's true.
Yeah,
no, you know, I did have a few bad habits, but yeah.
Chugging a full bottle of Jack Daniels was definitely not a wise choice, my friend. But we did it.
Yeah,
we did do it.
God, I hope that video never makes it out one day.
Oh man, I've been trying to find it for years.
It's on homie's phone, but you got to think that phone was 16 years ago, 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find the flip
phone
that motherfucker's on.
Too. Yeah.
You can find that flip phone, bro.
Yeah, that was a flip phone. Bro, I can't find anything from there. I don't recollect most of it. Like, you guys tell me about stories, and I start to remember. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did that shit. But then, like, fuck. That's been almost 20 years ago, man. Like,
I know, bro.
I don't remember what I had for lunch
yesterday.
Looking
back at some of that shit. It's so fucking crazy looking back, like... Like, dude, all right, do you remember when you grew your hair out like a fro, bro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fuck yeah. The Jew fro? Yep.
We used to hide stuff in it.
Oh, man, the thing was, part of that was I was just, like, I didn't want a haircut because my parents wanted me to have a haircut, you know? And my mom hated it when I did that, so I was like, oh, well, I've got to do it every day now. Yeah, that was just part
Didn't
of that.
Didn't you have a mohawk
but,
at one point?
The
dude.
Reality of, oh, yeah, a mohawk, and then had really long hair at one point.
I don't remember the long hair.
And then I got...
I remember the fro, and I remember the mohawk.
Yeah, the long hair came during my first prison sentence. And then I had the long hair, and I thought I was out of everything, so... Well, I mean, you guys didn't see me for a while, because I was in prison. And everyone thought I died. It was great. I came out of prison like, holy shit, you're alive.
I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm not gonna lie, you just kind of disappeared one day.
Yeah. Cops tend to do that to
I mean Well, I heard what happened, and then I was like, oh, shit. And then I heard what was going on in the long run. And then I think one of our neutral homies is writing you. And I told her to, tell you I said what up.
Yeah, yeah. She, that mutual friend is one of the only people that wrote me the entire time I was in prison. Except for Yoder wrote me, and our other friend, the fish, wrote me.
The fish?
Once.
That, dude, that is now his new nickname. I'm changing that to on his messenger to me. It's going to be the fish.
It's Michael, and we call him Michael the Fish, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Michael the Fish. He sounds like he should be like some mob leader.
He put fish in your boots because that way you swim with them, you know? Some seaman shoes, my guy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, shit.
So, during all that stuff, yeah, that was, I disappeared for quite a while, but I had long hair, and I had a situation occur where a rather hostile individual grabbed my hair and jumped and put my face into his knee.
Ooh, damn.
Shattered my, orbital socket. Yeah, and he fucked me up pretty bad. So after I healed up from that, I took a fucking razor to my head and never had long hair since.
Yeah, I don't blame you there, bro. That would totally put a sour taste in my mouth about that, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah that was a... Because he couldn't have whooped me if he hadn't done that. But after he hit me in the face, I didn't see.
I do have to ask this, though. Was that on the inside or outside?
That was inside, yeah.
Like, was that... inside. That happened inside prison. Okay.
Yeah, that was on a level 4 prison yard. Yeah. I was on a level 4 prison yard. I was playing poker. And I guess he didn't like the hand I drew. And he'd been awake for, 3 or 4 days on drugs. And he didn't like the hand, and he fucking showed me. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But I caught him, 3 months after the fact. Yeah, I caught him.
Oh, did you,
I caught him 3 months after the fact. Yeah.
Without committing to a crime, did you shank him? No, just kidding.
without admitting to a crime, I can't tell you. Yeah.
So, fans listening, he did. That's going to go on a T-shirt.
Mm.
He did shank him. Roast in the world T-shirt.
Fuck yeah, I did. Motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, I shanked his ass.
Yeah.
Shanked him twice, motherfucker.
Fuck out of that, dude. Twice, fuck, please. I'm an overachiever, homeboy.
Oh, shit. Yeah, true that. Dude,
yeah,
I do have an update,
alive,
though, on something we talked about last week. Remember me telling you about how they were putting, what's it called, fentanyl? Am I saying it right?
Fentanyl, yes.
Okay, remember how I was telling you how they were going, somebody was going around putting it on money and shit like that? The latest case I've heard about in the past week, it's a sad one, is there were 6 arrested after a baby OD'd on it. So I'm hoping maybe they got the people that's been doing this, but it's crazy that it took a baby to OD on it.
You know, man, I come from a very, I don't know, the area in which I'm at is very notorious for heroin and fentanyl being a major problem. That situation is spreading.
See, I'm not even sure what exactly fentanyl is, dude, to be honest. Because you know me, I don't know a lot about
it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a synthetic opiate that is, 1,000 times stronger than heroin. You can put a speck on a plate.
So is it
kind of
like that stuff
they
give you to get off other drugs? That ends up making it worse or whatever? Because I've heard of people doing that shit around
here. No, it's not like methadone or Suboxone.
Yeah, whatever that shit is.
No, it's not like that. Yeah, fentanyl is a synthetic. It's usually manufactured in China. It is a synthetic opiate that is 1,000 times stronger than pain medicine. Medical grade fentanyl is used for surgeries and everything like that. But in this case,
got you. All right.
It's a synthetic concentrated version. So literally a speck of it will absorb through your skin. When I was in prison, an officer OD'd because he was handling the mail and somebody had soaked a piece of paper in some of it.
Oh,
and
wow.
He overdosed and died. Yeah, he was handling it with no gloves. And so that explains how strong shit really is. And
right, yeah.
To be honest with you, I mean, as a person who has been involved in a lot of distribution heavier narcotics previously in my life, the handling of that stuff is, you need gloves to even handle it. The clean area, room, you don't want to get it air.
Let me ask you this. How easy is this to come, like, how easy is this to get? I mean, like, this person has to, like, know somebody higher, like, high up in some kind of medical shit to get this, right? Or no? Like,
correct.
You can just make
correct.
This in your, like, backyard, or?
No. You can order China.
Oh, shit.
Usually you go to,
that easy to get it.
You go, like, black market. I mean, I've ordered an M88 hand grenade one time through the man, and it shipped to the door of the place I was at, and I was like, holy shit. Yeah. A lot of this whole, like, they talk about the road and, like, the black market and things like that, it's extremely dangerous to contact anybody online about anything criminal. But with a lot of these modern, you know, rooms and access to the internet that we have, you can pretty much order anything on the internet.
Right.
It's illegal. I do not recommend. It's not what we're talking about. And we're not telling you to do for the shit because we'll probably go to jail if they catch you. Yeah, it's definitely not worth it. None of it is worth it. Just a
this
little
right here is just a learning. This right here is just a learning thing, guys. I want to get some facts
out
there about it.
Only.
Yeah, educational
exactly.
only. Right here, guys.
Purposes only. The synthetic stuff that's made in China is lethal, to say it's probably what they're doing with it. Medical grade fentanyl is a liquid that they get into your IVs, and it's extremely strong. It's a quick burning pain relief that they give you in, like I said, surgeries, like that. I even might have trace amounts of it in a epidural when they give birth. You know what I'm saying? So it's
right.
Medical grade fentanyl is obviously controlled. You can microdose it out or whatever. But the stuff that you get that's in China is the stuff that you've been putting on dollar bills and shit like that. And to be honest with you, I would guess probably 90% of the heroin that is in this country isn't heroin. It's fentanyl.
Nah.
So when these people think they're getting heroin or blue pills that everyone's talking about, these like Perc 30s and all that, it's not actual Percocet. It's not actual medicine. It's not actual heroin. It's amounts of fentanyl, a bunch of cut, pressed into a pill. People think they're fucking doing it. They're actually doing fentanyl. So
that's crazy.
That's why you have such an overdose problem in the country, because that shit's finding its way to everything, including, stupid as it sounds to me, like I used to sell a lot of drugs. They even put it in meth. They'll trace amounts of it in meth that you start having the need for it. It creates a cold need for the drug. As well as with meth, it was a psychological addiction. Whereas heroin and all these things, they cause a physical addiction. Causes you to get sick when you're not on it. Causes you to, like, wish you were dead. That thing. That's fentanyl. It's extremely dangerous, man. And if anybody's doing Percocets or things off the streets, it's a big danger to do those things off the streets because of the fact that you don't know what they're doing. You don't know where they got it. You don't know what they cut it with. And commonly, it's fentanyl and Benadryl is doing. You think you're doing Percocet, you're doing fentanyl and Benadryl. Or you're doing mixed amount of heroin and with fentanyl to make it stronger. It's dangerous, man, and people are losing their lives left and right because they think that they can control the shit. Well, the shit controls you, I promise. You think you're not showing signs, you're showing signs. Even if it doesn't change your personality, change your personality. Hard products are hands down, one of the big reasons for divorce, the biggest reasons for losing a parent or separating from parents. And that's not just like a epidemic or pandemic. It's here. It's cool, man. And if you guys are needing help with that stuff, you know, like us, we can get you in sort of touch services. Or
yeah, for sure.
Place help.
For sure.
I will. I mean, personally, I might have the time out of my day. Sure that if anybody out there is wanting help to get off the shit, then I'll do whatever I can.
Oh, same here, guys. Like, y'all write me, I will go out of my way to try to help out on anything. Because I got a story right here, dude. Trip out on this. This was about 6 years ago, I would say. So I was on the side, I'm going to say I was about 25, 26, somewhere in that area, 27. I worked at this restaurant. Now, I worked at this restaurant with a bunch of kids. I say kids, they're anywhere from 16 to 18-ish. Well, I'm taking out the trash one night, and one of the kids I'm supposed to be closing with, I think he's 17, 18 at the time, he's out back smoking a joint with somebody, right? Well, as I'm walking by, he doesn't know, like, he tried to hide it, right? As I'm walking by, I'm like, what are you smoking, bro? He's like, nothing. So I take the trash out, and I go back by him again. I'm like, bro, you ever try to smoke a joint? He's like, yeah. Well, I get a good whiff of it, right? I'm like, dude, that's not weed. He's like, yeah, it is. I was like, let me see this shit. He has me this sack that he got, right? It literally was that fake weed that somebody put some embalming fluid in.
Mm.
And this fucker, not knowing shit, because he fresh out of high school, if still in high school maybe, fucking smoking this shit. I mean, that's just how crazy it is. Like, these kids don't know their drugs. They're the ones.
Yes.
Taking the hits from it all.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's another bad one, is people back in when I was younger, and especially like in California and shit where I was around, or those dip cigarettes was a big thing. People love those things. It became kind of one of those fentanyl situations where everybody was doing it and it was killing it. You know, people were losing their life as a result of the action they were doing. I was, 13, and a friend of one of my older brother type, was a notorious pot dealer. I mean, he had all kinds of pot. So I went by a little dime bag because, kids, we give them some bucks because that's all we got. I go there, man, I'm out of weed, but I got these cigarettes. And I'm like, fuck, do I want a cigarette for? He's like, how much money you got? I said, $10. I'll give you two of them. So I took this cigarette and I lit it. Tasted like dog shit. And I was making like big drags of it, like hit a joint. And he says, whoa, take it. And then that's the last thing I remember.
Oh, shit.
Come through, and I'm in a large crowd of people at a party telling this elaborate story that I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know. Suddenly they said I was just mid-sentence. Stopped, blinked, and I was like, where the fuck am I at? Dude, you're in Pasadena. You're chilling at Becky's party. I'm like, how the fuck did I go from Venice Beach, California to Pasadena?
That's because that's a good little distance there, my man.
Yeah, that's a good distance. Same. So I look on the couch at this party from this person named Mickey, who I don't know who the fuck is. Mind you, I'm 13 years old. These guys are like 20, 25. And they're listening to me, like, telling them how to fucking cure cancer. And I'm like, how the fuck did I get here? And the guy was like, well, you drove. And I was like, bro, I'm 13. I don't have a fucking car. The guy's like, we didn't think so, but go look at the car. This car's parked halfway in the yard, halfway on the sidewalk. It had a screwdriver in the ignition.
Definitely, yeah. Yep.
And,
sure.
Yep. And I'm like, fuck, right? So they're like, well, your buddy's on my couch. And I was like, what buddy? The fuck do I know here? You know, I was thinking, like, I got kidnapped, probably. Like, I didn't know what the fuck happened. I look on the couch, and there's my buddy. Mike is past. Mike is, like, he's been ran through it, right? Looks like he's been, like, pushed through the mud. He fucking looks like a bum. Now, Mike was a rich kid, and I don't know how the fuck he got here. So I wake up Mike. I say, hey, Mike, what's going on? He's like, oh, you're awake? Great, you know? He's mad at me. And I'm like, why are you mad at me, man? He says, oh, you don't fucking recall, probably. But I was driving down
where was he? I think he said he was looking down, like Ventura. And he said he saw me walking gas cans. And he was like, what the fuck? So he pulls over and parks his car, gets out, starts like trying to, hey, man, what are you doing? You know, he's an older guy. Apparently, I was walking to the docks, and I had taken gas, but they were boat gas cans, so they had oil in it. But I don't know why I was taking the gas cans, because I didn't have a fucking car. So he used to follow me, and at some point during this, I just pick up any car, and I start putting this gas. Well, the car already had a full tank of gas, so the boat gas is just dumped over the floor. And he's like, is this your car? I'm like, yeah, of course. Hop in, bro. And we get in there. Apparently, I, you know, get a freaking screwdriver in the ignition and knew how to do and start the car up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're rolling. And I was like, I don't know. We started driving and apparently wouldn't shut up, making weird motions. He's like, yeah, let me drive. So by the time we pulled over, we'd been driving for a couple hours. And the nearest town was Pasadena. We drove into Pasadena. And I met somebody at a McDonald's, and they told me about this park. And this person was like, yeah, but I don't have a ride. And I was like, hop on in. I got a car. And we drove to this person's fee. I had a bunch of beer, like I usually did. And I, you know, looking back, having a fun time, and it's like snapped out of this, like, or the Sherman-induced fuck psychosis was in a room full of people. Like I said, I have no idea what I was talking about. And we had to make the 3.5-hour trek back to Venice Beach, California, to go get Mike's car. When we put the trunk in this car, gas cans and a shotgun fall out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we just dumped the car in the ocean and forgot about it, man. And,
yeah, you did what anybody else would have done.
Don't do Sherm. Don't do Sherm. Somebody says I got these cigarettes and just walk the fuck away.
Just walk away. Do not take cigarettes.
Just walk. And if you do take a drag of a cigarette that looks like I'm dipped in fucking oil or death, don't take a big drag. Don't sit there on it like your fucking life depends on it. You will black out, wake up 3 hours later or three hours away and make new friends and pass.
All right, on that note, today's topic is our favorite songs that have to do with weed. Now, you got your obvious songs from your bands like Cottonmouth Kings or, I don't know, you got Bob Marley songs, you know, Smoke Two Joint, shit like that. Anything from Sublime,
yeah.
I guess.
Anything. You've also got anything from Cypress Hill, pretty much.
Cypress Hill. Mac, not Mac Dre, Tech N9ne. A lot of his shit's weed-related. All right, here's a band for you. Dr. Hook. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They got a song called I Got Stoned and I Missed It. So, you know, that's a good one.
Dr. Hook, right?
Yeah.
I Got Stoned, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yep.
They did that Sylvia's Mother, too, I think, or a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sexy Eyes.
Yeah, they did.
Sexy Eyes.
They did
that's
both
what
those. They did Sylvia's
Mother,
too.
Yeah, okay, I just
too.
Remember. Yep.
Yeah, that
that's
was
right,
all
Sylvia's
them.
Mother. That was, what was that, like, in the 70s? It was, like, 70s?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. 60s, 70s, and 80s. Because
I know I Got
Stoned
and... Yeah, I Got Stoned and I Missed It was, like, in 70... I'm going to say 74. 75?
Yeah, at least, man. And then, let's see, Cover of the Rolling Stones right around the same time.
Yeah. Yep.
See, not a lot of people know Dr. Hook, guys. So that took me by surprise that you knew who they were.
Oh, man, I have an old
see,
soul,
Afro
Man.
Oh, for sure, bro. And then we got Afro Man.
Oh, yeah, Red Man, Willie Nelson. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Willie, The Whole World's Gone to Pot with Willie and Merle Haggard. So, I mean, that's a good one. I'm going to say that one came out in the last 15 years because I'm not sure when Merle Haggard passed away.
Ooh, Merle Haggard passed away recently. Well, it's within the past, like, 10 years. So,
yeah.
It's been pretty bad.
Man.
What about the Beatles,
sad,
man?
Sad day in country. And oh, fuck yeah, dude. Oh, should we consider that acid music?
Well, I mean, you got to get it. What is the song? It's Got to Get You Into My Life, I think, was the Beatles. And I think that was specifically like, pot related.
Okay, if we're going to do that, then we're going to have to say the Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated, because that can go for weed, too.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, well, I mean, that wasn't about weed.
Yeah, it wasn't. If you ever see the video,
it's
definitely
not
about weed.
It's definitely not about weed. If you read the lyrics, you'll clearly understand that they're talking about something a little stronger.
You know,
what
some
about,
of their
like,
songs are crazy as hell, bro. The KKK took my baby away.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ray Charles, Let's Go Get Stoned was a good one, too. I mean, if you ever, like, you know, you're talking like Ray Charles, because that's Ray Charles is
awesome, bro.
Yeah, like, I think he says, like, get your lighters ready, roll the sticky, you know what I mean? And there's like, man, this sounds like some rap lyrics. Of course, you've, like, yeah, I mean, you've got modern stuff.
I got
like,
five on it.
I'm thinking, yeah. Well, that's not very modern, but yeah, Hits from the Bong, Cypress Hill, Roll Me Up and Willie Nelson. That was Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die. That was 2010, 2012.
I'll Never Smoke Weed with Willie Again.
Yep, that was Toby Keith. That was like 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005,
ish,
something like that.
Ish.
Something
like that, back when he was like a big name.
In 2000. Yeah, now he just owns a bunch of restaurants and gets really hammered.
yeah, sounds about right.
Afro Man. Yep, Afro Man.
Bro, have you heard Afro Man? I don't know if how new it is. It's modern. His remade version of Because I Got High.
I have not.
Oh, my God,
good?
You got
to
hear it.
I have to ask you.
Yes, it is good.
Okay.
It talks about, like, a bunch of modern stuff in it now. But
because everything
like
back
it fits it. Like, I'll set up the video for you, bro. He's on a couch going down the street getting high with a bunch of random people.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely smoke weed with Afro Man, because that motherfucker is, personality-wise.
Yeah, dude.
Hilarious in interviews, hilarious when you see him interact with people. The dude is
and one of the original, like, OGs, dude. If you ever see some of his, like, old school shit.
Facts. Yeah. No, the dude's been around for a while. And he kind of stepped out of the limelight for a while, and then he kind of made a comeback, and then I haven't really heard
him. You remember about
him,
15 years ago, he bitch-slapped that chick on stage because she jumped on stage and, like,
stage, right.
Yeah.
And he didn't, like, smack her. He smacked her like a fucking man, dude. Yeah, I'm surprised. I think he got sued
Over
that, actually.
No hesitation. He might have, bro, but, like, hesitation.
He actually might have had baby powder in his hand when he did that. Yeah, he definitely might have had baby powder.
I saw powder come flying out. I definitely thought I saw that.
That was either that or the sweat that came off of her face when he smacked the shit out of her. We're talking about older bands,
so it could have been some fat.
Yeah, you know how us fat people are. Talking about the old school stuff. Let's say, what was I thinking? I was thinking like Tom Petty. Yeah,
ooh.
Tom Petty had a song.
Ooh.
How It Feels, or
Last
You Don't Know How It Feels,
Dance.
I think.
Does he do Last Dance with Mary Jane?
That was, no. I don't think that was Tom Petty. Last Dance with Mary.
I can look this up.
Dance
we got
Mary
Google.
Jane. That's The Heartbreakers. Oh, no, it's Tom Petty and The Heartbreakers. You're right. So, yeah, I had to look it up. Right
yeah.
Now. Right. Yeah, you're right. You were correct. I was wrong.
Yay me.
And another one. Yeah, yay me. There's times I'm quite wrong, but I admit that. That's fine. The Steve Miller Band.
Yes.
You know, the Joker.
I'm a Joker.
Of course.
I'm a smoker.
I'm a midnight smoker. Yeah, of course you got the rap genre is just speckled with the
There's so many of those I can't
ganja related stuff. Yeah, but then you got Hash Pipe by Weezer. You've got
I forgot about that song. That is awesome.
Yeah, I mean Dr. Dre in the next episode. That was in '99, and bro, we're
The Chronic.
Yeah, Weed Instead of Roses by Ashley Monroe, if you remember that one. Anything by Snoop Dogg, of course, has the weed, you know, it's kind of like his iconic, you know, thing.
I'm sure Justin Bieber has a song about weed or something.
Yeah, he's
wait,
you know.
Wait. You're trying to tell me Magic Carpet Ride's about weed?
He doesn't mention weed and gin and juice. Yes, he does. If you remember Steppenwolf, you ever heard of Steppenwolf?
Yes.
It's like the 60s, 70s. Yeah, so Steppenwolf, yeah. They did Don't Step on the Grass, Sam. In like, oh, man, I think, man, I'm trying to think, maybe in 95, Redman came out with that one, How High. Sweet Leaf by Black Sabbath. Yep. One Toke Over the Line by Brewer and Shipley in 1972. If you think about that one, obviously it's about weed, One Toke Over the Line. But Brewer and Shipley was a weird band anyway. That was, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Yeah, Gangstar did Two and a Pass, or Take Two and Pass, or Puff Puff Pass, or something like that. That was in like the early 90s.
I think it's Puff Puff Pass. Could be wrong.
Yeah, by Gangstar.
Okay, Copperhead Road.
Oh yeah,
in the Copperhead Road, dude. Where he's talking about, you know,
yep.
you know, came back with a brand new plan. Yeah.
Yep.
Learner.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, let's see.
He went from moonshine into growing pot, and you know, Devin the Dude.
Times have changed.
Yes, exactly. Went from liquor being the big dark secret that everyone shared for years when it was in prohibition, which in the region in which I'm at currently is has a very deep rooted moonshining history. And it's kind of funny that like you go to some of these old timers houses and they have some mason jars sitting in their freezer, just sitting there chilling. Or hear this out. I went to an estate sale and we found this little statue, and it was like this little hillbilly guy. He had like the straw hat on, you know, and the fucking playing the banjo. And it was like a little statue, and it was wrapped in saran wrap, but we thought it was really cool. So we bought it. And as we bought it, we took it home and we were looking at it, and there was like something inside sloshing. And, I was like, what the fuck is that? So we took the little hat off. It was actually a lid, a cork. And we poured some of this out and we smelled it. And I was like, holy shit, what is this? We took it to a mutual friend or somebody around here that knew very much about the stuff. And he took one smell, one sip, and he said, holy hell, that's the best shine I've had in 15 fucking years, man. The shit was like 180
proof.
And he handed me a glass, like a little shot glass with what you would call like a thimbleful
right.
in there. And I never drank anything like that again, man. And I bought we bought that statue for like $5.
That is crazy,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bob Dylan, back on topic, you got Rainy Day Women by Bob Dylan, too. Think about that one. Pack the Pipe, The Fair Side.
Let me hit you with this. You know how Cottonmouth mm-hmm. King, pretty much every song's about weed, right? What's the best Cottonmouth King song?
Tangerine Sky.
Oh my God! You still—that's what I was gonna say. So,
yep.
I literally was
say goodbye, say goodbye to the tangerine sky. Say hello to tomorrow.
Bro, I can hear that song now and instantly be reverted back to like 2005, 2006.
Yeah,
sitting in the same trailer with you, a few of our other friends, and instantly, the second I hear that song, that's exactly where I'm at in my head, and it's my favorite Cottonmouth King song. I was not a huge fan. You know what I mean? But that song,
I didn't start off a huge fan of them. And then one of our friends had a, back in the day, we were still using CDs, guys, you know, that was a thing. And you had to put songs on them. And he burned a CD for us. And it was literally like that song and like a few other ones. I think it was that one and Proud to Be a Stoner.
Proud to Be a Stoner. There's a few other ones, but for me, Tangerine Sky, also because I wasn't a fan, of their music. I wasn't like one of those guys that ran around with all the stupid fucking shirts and shit like that. And you know the idiots that did. The friend you're talking about was one of them.
Yeah, the same one I'm talking about, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I had the sticker on the back of his car.
Literally had the same, he would wear the same shirts every day, guys, but different colors. It would just be the same Cottonmouth King shit.
Yep. And anytime he got a hold of the auxiliary cord, that's all he played. He was a fan, I will give him that, but also a douche. And so,
so a douche.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is true.
The one, I think, dude, do you remember Dope Smoker by Sleep?
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, it was like they were like the stoner rock trio is Sleep, the band. And the song was called Dope Smoker. Huh. And I think it was like a 63-minute dirge record. Dude, it was recorded in 96. So, yeah.
You say it's like a 63-minute long song?
Yeah. No, it's like, I think the album was 63 minutes. But like,
Okay. I was like, damn.
It might have been the fucking whole song, dog. Honestly, like, I haven't heard it in fucking years. And I never ended it. I never, like, myself took the time to fucking go through their albums or their music. But I remember my brother listening to them. And anything, of course, Bob Marley or that Rastafarian type
right.
style music is
I'm trying
have
to think
that
of like
because of
trying to think of like any other bands like that would have a song about weed, like Zeppelin or anything like that.
I'm sure Zeppelin had several points, but you know they were into some other shit. So
yeah,
they
were into Summon the Devil and shit too. So who knows?
Yeah.
Or that is Jimmy
Page. This is Jimmy Page, yeah. So Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, you ever heard them? That was like the 70s?
Yes, I have.
They did a song called Seeds and Stems Again.
Yes. Down to my
yep.
seeds and stems
yep.
again, my friend.
Yep. Yeah. And then there was a song, 1970s, it was called Mexico. And I think they were talking about going down there and picking up some pot.
I have heard this song before.
Yeah, I think it was like Jefferson Airplane. Holy shit, I can't believe I remembered that. Jefferson Airplane did Mexico. And I think it was in like 1972, 1970. And it was when Nixon did that Operation Intercept with all the, you know, the weed coming up from Mexico. And Jefferson Airplane, they did that song protesting against President Nixon.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, yeah. Unknown crazy fact, I've seen Jefferson Airplane revival like 20 years ago in concert. I saw him play White Rabbit. It was awesome.
Yeah. Dude, okay, so we're going old school. Let me think. There was Chiba Chiba, do you remember that one? Or that we were not alive for, but that was in the 80s.
Maybe.
Tone Loc was Chiba Chiba, right?
1932.
Let me look it up real quick. Let me look this one up just so I can verify and make sure I'm not wrong. Hold on. Let me type this in. I think it was Cab Calloway. He's like a jazz musician. 1932, Cab Calloway. It was called Reefer Man. Songs about weed certainly aren't as modern phenomenon. In 1932, Jazz Tune, first recorded by legendary bandleader Cab Calloway, was released a mere 5 years before the U.S. made marijuana illegal. Formally titled Have You Ever Met the Funny Reefer Man, this J. Russell Robinson / Annie Rosas song was later recorded by punk band Murphy's Law and swing revivalist Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Yeah, 1932.
Okay, I've heard of
Reefer
him.
Man.
I've
yep.
heard of Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah, big bad voodoo daddies. And then there was anything Paul McCartney was high.
Not even trying to hide it anymore. Just high.
Yeah. And then Bob Marley, of course.
Anything John Lennon did after the Beatles, he was high.
High, yeah. Or a clone.
So was George Harrison.
That.
He was also high.
I don't think that's Paul McCartney, but anyways, we're not going to get into conspiracy.
Ringo Starr also extremely high.
Yeah, he was high, and then came down low. Anyways, we're not going to do that one. I don't feel like being a piece of shit for that one. yeah.
Oh,
Neil Young. Neil Young was another one,
we
man.
Talked,
Neil Young.
Yo,
was,
Neil Young
was,
for sure.
Yep, Neil Young was definitely a smoker for sure.
Okay, so I've got this article about jazz up, and it says that there was another song about it. Oh, and it was Fats Waller. Oh, my God. I remember hearing something about Fats Waller, but that was like in the 30s. So it says here, it says, If You're a Viper is the name of the song. Perhaps the earliest and coolest and most famous reefer song in jazz was originated by gypsy jazz violinist Stuff Smith in 1937 and was later cut by a host of others, but famously performed by Fats Waller, though a female singer, Rosetta Howard, did it before him. Anybody shared the dream of a reefer 5 feet long, but only the Manhattan Transfer version on their very first album, Jukin, kept Smith's wording of the title, If You Lose a Viper. So that's 1937. Jazz, man. Jazz was always really influenced by pop, though. Jazz
yeah,
is the music that, yeah, yeah. I mean, how else could you like that shit unless you're really fucking stoned?
can you like that mellow ass shit unless you're high? So
yeah, man. Yeah. That's funny.
I'm sure MGK
so mine,
has
I,
a
I
few
also,
fucking weed songs though.
Him, MG joke. Fuck that dude.
Yeah,
that dude got
yeah.
down by Eminem so fucking bad he turned into a female.
I was just about to ask you, like, what was your take on that a few years back?
Bro,
for people
who
don't know
what
we're talking
about the whole rap battle? Yeah.
Well, let's start from the beginning. The beginning of what happened was, like, a few years before all this, he was, like, doing some interview, Machine Gun Smelly or whatever the fuck his name is. And said that Eminem's daughter was hot, right? Well, his daughter was only like
yep.
15 or 16 at the time, right? Well, years later, Eminem says some shit to him. So dude came at him in like a rap video that he put together in like a day. You could totally tell.
yeah, yeah. So
bro,
in
did
that
you
event,
see the
in,
one that D12 put
later,
out, though?
No.
Like, Eminem, there,
well,
you know the one that
Eminem
put out were hard, right? But D12 put one out, Bazaar and that other dude called Machine Gun Clips. That fucking just annihilates, bro.
Now, you got to know that D12 was, like, not just a rap band. You know what I'm saying? Them boys was from Detroit.
Right, yeah.
And those dudes were gangsters. So Eminem, you know, he was from Detroit. He was a white boy. I'm sure he's gotten into his fair share of scuffles. But D12 was not one of them situations. Some of those dudes on D12, I mean, we're not talking about like Joe Biden and all that bullshit. He's a punk, but yeah, I'll openly say that to him. I don't give a fuck. Fuck that dude. But like, some of those guys, except you know, like one of them died. I can't remember his names.
I think it was Proof. Wasn't
one of them
it?
Died.
And the other one,
Proof. Yeah, I think that's right. But 6 years after that interview that MGK did that he casually mentioned how fucking hot this 15-year-old girl was because he was like 19 at the time, 20. You know, I'm not
probably
saying
that
that's not okay because that's absolutely fucking wrong to make comments about a fucking minor. And if you do, you should have – somebody should have rocked his shit. And in my opinion, Eminem should have rocked his shit immediately, not waited 6 years to put it out in a song where he called out everybody in the industry. Eminem's one of my favorite rappers.
It makes it sound like
it was a
minor note. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
no,
I would have drove to his fucking house. Yeah, if somebody made a comment about my daughter, I would drive to their fucking house and put on a UPS uniform, and I would act like I had a package, and when they opened the door, I would break their orbital socket and stomp them until they're fucking stupid. My personal way of handling things is probably
don't
not
lie.
PC
you
or,
wouldn't put
you know.
On no UPS uniform. You would just kick the door in and do that anyways.
No, I would have to do the UPS uniform because then like they wouldn't open the door for somebody that looks like me standing at your fucking door knocking on the door. Then
dude,
I have to kick open the
I know
door.
You.
That's called
I,
breaking
you wouldn't,
and entering.
You wouldn't even go to the front door. You'd go through the window.
Yeah, I'm trying to make myself. I'm trying to logically break this down. Yeah, I don't know if I could contain myself truthfully. That's the truth. Somebody, we were in Walmart. Somebody made a comment about my wife while we were checking out, and we got kicked out of Walmart because the situation that ensued afterwards resulted in someone coming to save this man. Some younger guy was coming to save this guy, and I, you know, fuck you. You can get the smoke too, bitch. And so I smoked them both out. Walmart's calling the cops. My wife's trying to get us the fuck out of there. I don't give a fuck. But in the situation with MGK, he had made a comment about his minor daughter, and 6 years later, he came out with a track that dissed Joe Biden and Joe Bitch Ass Biden and quite a few other people. He made comments about, of course, Fred Durst, you know what I mean? He's always hated that fucking dude. But in the song, he made a minor note about MGK calling him R. Kelly. He's like, yeah.
I don't want to interrupt you right now. I just have to say this. And the only reason I know this is because I shared a birthday with a guy. Me and Fred Durst shared the same birthday. And that's one of,
yeah.
I just have to
say
that's
unfortunate for you.
I know. I don't like bragging about it. I'm sure he brags
yeah,
about
you
it
just
enough,
did it all
you
for
know,
the
his friends. Like, I share the birthday with the king of comedy, but me, I don't tell nobody
yeah,
about Biscuit. You know, I'm like, yo. I never heard of him.
Yeah, no, that's a secret. Yeah, that's like sharing.
You know,
the,
I don't,
that's like
I don't casually play. You know, keep on rolling.
No, I absolutely do not care for Limp Bizkit nor their fans, just because 35-year-old men wearing hats backwards, sagging their shorts, was not like a good thing for me. You know what I mean? But.
Yeah, their style
you know,
was a little
Fred
off. Like,
yeah,
like,
bro.
What
was,
kind of style
like,
was
dude,
that? That
was like
40-year-old
dude trying to hooking up with an 18-year-old chick.
Yeah, it was just
mid-90s.
Was it like
2000s,
supposed to be
yeah.
punk
for a 35-year-old guy
rap,
going into the bar
to
trying to pick up his? I don't know, man. I would rather
skater?
Have been a fucking good Charlotte than those dumbasses.
Dude, I bet you he's the dude. He yeah, him and the people from Good Charlotte are probably the people that went around scootering. With the little push scooters back in the day?
Yeah, no, they definitely, yep, the Razors. I think actually
yeah,
Razor scooters were in his videos. That's funny you say that. He's standing on a bro, at one point. Oh, my God.
Damn, that's how douchey
saying
they
about
are.
His yeah, yeah, Pea Shooter Kelly or Bitch Face Kelly or whatever his name is now.
Pea Shooter Kelly.
Wearing all pink, trying to be punk rock. Fuck him. So... He, and it, what's ironic is right before the drop of the song in which Eminem, you know, makes a reference calling Machine Gun Kelly R. Kelly kind of thing, MGK did an interview. And I think it, what was it with Charlamagne the God?
I think so.
I think the interview, it was like
either, it was either him or Vlad or whatever it's called.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it was on, like, The Breakfast Club.
Yes, it was Breakfast Club. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, it was on The Breakfast Club. And people, and they were asking him, like, I guess he did a freestyle. And
yeah, and he talked some shit about Eminem.
No. He didn't. He said that anybody can get it, basically. If you, you know, that he's from Cleveland. He doesn't give a fuck. And he's a gangster and all this other shit.
Oh,
and
dude.
Then,
okay, I was thinking of
then,
when he went on fucking Wild and Out.
Yeah, no. Because
he did the same
clown.
Shit. He went on there talking a bunch of shit
so
and had
Nick
all
Cannon.
Them fucking shit.
Nick Cannon's a fucking idiot. I mean, he's smart in business, but his music was trash. His movies were trash. His opinion is trash. Mariah Carey fucking cheated on him, probably with Eminem. And then, you know, just he's trash. So,
yeah,
are you still married?
He just owns his own
yeah,
station, or multi-billionaire or some shit, but he's trash.
Like I said,
sure. If you want to sponsor our show, we'll put us on Wild and Out. You know, that's cool. Hey, dude, we'll take his money,
no,
bro.
Fuck
come
you.
On.
I don't do that. No, I have morals.
We don't even have to show up, bro. We can just take his money. Don't have to
yes,
show up.
Yes, we would. I'm telling you, the dude's a very smart businessman. He's very intelligent. If we didn't show up, we wouldn't get paid. And when we did show up, he'd probably have like six guys in the back trying to jump me just for this fucking comment that I'm making right now. Because he can't fight and he's a horrible person.
No, bro, no, they would hit us with a rap battle, bro. We're good.
That
they
would be stupid on their part because
rap.
You're a gangster rapper.
They'll be throwing like raps at us and you'll walk up and just like knock one out real quick and we'll be like bam.
Yeah. They're throwing words, I'm throwing elbows, you know what I mean? And that's how
you
I go back to prison.
Yeah.
Knocking someone out on fucking live camera. That would be great. Can't dispute that one in court. But anyways, he did an interview with the Breakfast Club, and Charlamagne, you know, they, I guess during that point, he did a freestyle, and in this freestyle, he said anybody can get it. And then a couple of days later, Eminem came out with a couple of days or a week or so. It was a really short time span. Eminem came out with a song that had mentioned him being like a fucking pedophile because he was making comments about a 15-year-old girl. So the next day, MGK came out with a fucking song. What was the song called? It was,
what was it called?
Killshot. It was called Killshot.
Yeah.
Now,
no, that was Eminem's
song. Video...
Eminem's song was Killshot.
No. Was it? No, yep, it was Killshot. The song MG came up with was Rap Devil because
Rap God was the name of that Eminem song.
Yep.
That's what it was. Rap God was the name of the song you're trying to think of.
I'm not going to lie. The song hit, bro. Like, he said some shit.
I didn't like the weird beard part. I thought that was stupid. He's like, my beard is weird. Weird beard.
Well, he was
like,
making comments
stupid.
Because Eminem had started doing selfies, okay? And just like anybody over 40, you don't know how to fucking take a picture of yourself. So they were, you know, they were odd. And he had started growing out this little scruff beard that a lot of people didn't like because everybody likes the blonde-haired Eminem, but, you know, he's almost fucking 50, so.
Yeah, that's what everybody knows, you know, so.
Yeah, your beard is weird. He makes a little comment. You're yelling at the mic. Your beard is weird. But I think Eminem actually mentioned that part as, like, part of making fun of him. Yeah, your
beard
is weird.
Kill shot, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, in Killshot.
He's like, weird beard.
But, weird beard. And then it was like, I think it was like, oh, my God, Ronnie. And then it was just like, hey, somebody grab him some clippers and talking shit about his beard. But he does say some shit that, like, really got me. So I'm going to pull these lyrics up just real quick. My internet's being slow. Tough talk from a rapper paying millions for security a year. I think my dad's gone crazy. Yeah, Haley, you're right. Daddy's always mad, cooped up in the studio, yelling at the mic. You're sobered and bored, huh? How about 46 years? You're 46 years old, dog. Talk about, I'm going to call up Trick. Man, you sound like a bitch. And I'm just like, wow, this kid is brave, right? I was like, okay,
right.
I had some respect for him because he took on the person that nobody wants to take on. Eminem is hands down one of the best lyricists of our generation when it comes to rap, poetry, whatever you want to fucking articulate it as. Eminem is a beast. He didn't do 8 Mile just because he was not a battle. He was a battle rapper. He started off a battle rapper. He would go in there with
these
people and just fucking make them fucking, yeah, that was what he was raised in. But considering MGK came out with this song the next day, he made a weird video while he was eating Cheerios.
I like it. He made a weird video while I was eating Cheerios.
Yeah, it was while he was eating Cheerios. I mean, but the thing is the dude clapped back quick. It didn't take him 6 years to come up with the song. It took him the next day. Almost like he had this thing fucking backed up. But you know he didn't because he was so surprised that Eminem fucking attacked him that he was just
well,
like,
you know,
I've got to react on emotion.
On standby, but...
Honestly, I doubt it, man, because Eminem was his hero. I mean, look at how he used to emulate his style, emulate his look. You know, the man bun thing was weird, but like...
Yeah, right. That is...
I mean, I'm looking at these lyrics. Okay, so Shade 45. So Shade 45 is a club that Eminem owns. Shade 45. Interscope Records, because Interscope... Yeah, it's a club. Paul Rosenberg is one of the people from Interscope, one of the main people from Interscope. Eminem had him shelved. So the thing is Eminem was such a big name. He was such a big moneymaker for the industry that he could pretty much bulldog and bully these people, which is what he did with fucking MGK. Because MGK came at him with some lyrics, and I'm not going to lie, it's on my playlist. I have to say, I was extremely surprised that this fucking kid that I'd hardly heard anything from, you know, he did Wild Boys with, what was that guy's name? I'm a wild boy. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember the song. I can't remember who it was with.
Yeah, anyways, he did the song, and Waka Flocka, there we go. So he did that song, and that's the only one I'd heard from him up until, yeah, Waka Flocka, who is hands down one of the most intelligent.
I knew that song and a song called, what was it? He has another song, and the only reason I know it is because the video for it, it's like they're smoking weed before they're on the thing. And then, like, the guy that's, like, running the show gets high in the bathroom and, like, steals their weed and the cops come. Fuck, what is the name of that song?
I can't say that I've seen videos, but I
was stoned one night, bro.
Yeah.
I got stoned and I missed it.
Motherfucker right now. Yeah.
So, bro, you ready for the ads? Because I got three good ads for you.
All right. Oh, yeah. Who's the sponsor?
Ready?
Yep.
Partiers, tired of having to drink and smoke? Well, fuck that with Bud Beer. That's right. The first beer that gets you high. So forget having to mix your buds and drink your way to being stoned today. Hey,
Bud Beer.
I'm down for that. I'm in. Count me in, guys. And coming this fall.
Yeah.
The two coolest stoners of all time star in the newest movie, How High 9, The How Highest. So come watch Dakota and Logan get not just high, but how high. Not streaming on Netflix or Hulu. So that's not coming to a theater near you, not coming on a streaming form. You can catch it in your gas station, 99-cent bin, shelf thingies, you know, your bootlegs. Stuff like that.
Yep.
We're right behind the gay
off of
porn. Yeah, we're right behind the gay porn, but right above the black market, like Star Wars movies and stuff. So we're in the good section.
Star Wars. Yeah. And it was, I mean, to be honest, it was filmed on a flip phone. And
Their
budget
was
like $4.
I mean,
yeah.
We had a budget?
For a budgeted movie.
Damn. I thought we blew it all on tacos, like day one. We blew all that on tacos day one. But
no, that was when we – I charged the budget when I brought the ounce. So we had $4 left. I just put it on the phone, and we used that old flip phone that we had. And I think the movie is like 17 minutes long, and most of it's just us giggling. So, yeah, it was a fun film.
How High 9, guys? The How Highest. So,
How High 9.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Not as high
and
as we were when we came
sponsor.
Up with the idea. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right. Not as high as we were. next sponsor. Straight face here. Straight face. Tired of your weed being racist, sexist, and all around a big meanie? Then shop Snowflakes Pussy Fucks today. They have strains such as We're All a Winter Green. Poor Shaming Kush, and the biggest seller, I Hate Trump's Tweets. And those are our ads of this week.
Wow. But I like my weed to have a little kick to it. Can we find the more, you know, bigoted weed? Anyways, I don't want to go that way. We don't want to go that way. I mean, I don't like bigoted weed, but I mean, if it's that tough, I mean, shit.
But we're all a winner.
Yeah. I like my strain, Black Panther strain, because they hated all the white strains. Yeah.
Wakanda forever.
They made all the white strains pay like money, and I thought it was great. I can support that.
I say we go into the strain of the week.
Oh, God. She can't hang, man. I feel you. Today's strain we're going to talk about is going to be Moby Dick. Moby Dick is a sativa strain which is my personal favorite for like anxiety relief because of it has terpene as far as the flavor goes, which we've already talked about the citrusy effects of terpene. It's a lower THC consistency, but it has a little bit of CBD and it has a large gap. So there's a lot of different cannabinoids in it that cause it to be extremely beneficial and energizing. makes you feel a little buzzy, motivated, head high. It's on average 16 to 18%. Though I can personally say you can grow it up as strong as 20, 21. So it's, yeah, it's got vanilla flavored with the citrusy. It's a strong undertones of eucalyptus. There's myrcene, which is the dominant terpene. I think that medical patients were like the first ones to really have like a really good perception of this one because of the anxiety relief that it gives. It's energizing. Don't let me smoke this when we're not supposed to be talking because, you know, I get really talkative when I smoke stuff. It has that good citrus and vanilla flavor. Most people will say that it relieves stress, helps relieve depression, helps relieve anxiety. I personally think, yeah, it comes from White Widow and Haze, which is the mother of plants. Yeah. Now, have you ever smoked Total Paralysis?
Not that I know of.
Total Paralysis.
But also, we were smoking some of this stuff before they had names, so.
Right. Or we didn't care about the names. You remember those days? You're like, man,
I
don't care if it's called fucking, yeah. Yeah. But
I remember like train wreck, blueberry train wreck 15, and I'm like, bro, I don't care.
Yeah. Kind of similar like Agent Orange or Chernobyl. Have you ever smoked either of those, Agent Orange or Chernobyl? Both of which sound terrifying, but they're really good strains. Yeah, Moby Dick. Kind of funny of a name. Moby Dick is one of my favorite stress-relieving strains out there. It helps deal with anxiety, depression, things like that. It has, like I said, citrus vanilla flavors, good review with medical patients. It has, I think it's a 9-week veg cycle. So it's for a sativa plant, extremely quick because sativas generally take, you know, 10 to 13 weeks. Some strains take longer, but I absolutely loved the plant that I had. I had one plant of Moby Dick. It was a trial run when I was trying to figure out which ones I wanted to go for mass production. Because, of course, while you're growing weed, you have to look at which plants will produce the highest yields as well as the best quality and consistent quality. Moby Dick was not the easiest plant for me. Growing that plant was not, wasn't a simple, but I thought of love and care every single one of the 10. And Moby Dick came through. It came through. Very many weeks give me energy, not very many strains of give me energy, you know? I'm not one of those guys. Yeah, let's go fuck our car.
Right.
I mean, I think this individual plant that I don't know, 3 months, the next fucking couple months. And yeah, it's up and I noticed that I probably did it up, but, you know, out there and make breakfast, make some coffee, and by the time I get around, like, White Widow plants. I was just fucked up. Moby strain of the week. If you want to get any pointer, contact us, get a hold of us. I'm pretty sure I or you come up with something. Another
for sure.
Season. Yeah, sorry about that. A season coming up with your everything should be right about now. The course that's going your time is going to start early. You start in your 12th flight. Your plan.
We are having a little difficulty hearing you right now, bro. You're going in and out. You're starting to sound robotic. It's going in and out.
Can you hear me?
Still good. I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you fine now.
You can hear me now, right?
Yeah, it's still doing it. It's like a. Say something now. Hold on.
Let's see. Are you good?
Okay.
Am I good?
You're good now, yep. Yep, you're good now.
Okay, cool. with the changing of the seasons going on, the light has transitioned, and if it hasn't transitioned in your area, it'll be happening in the next couple of days. Plants are starting to sprout. A big reminder for anybody growing outdoors, don't be a cocksucker and fucking grow a male plant anywhere near fucking female plants. If you're one of the people that have been fucking holding onto these male plants near me, I hope you stub your toe, your mom gets gout, and your car has three flats on it. Because if that's you, you're a shit. Just had to throw that out there. Personal note, I've had a couple people fucking apparently in my area grow fucking male plants, and they have polluted mine with pollen. So, if, like I said, you're one of the people, I hope you stub your toe. Yeah.
Dude.
I hope you stub your toe every fucking day for 30 years.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Yeah.
Damn, that's
but don't
fucked.
Be a cocksucker. Don't fucking your male plants.
Don't be a cocksucker.
If you start, pay attention. Don't be a cocksucker.
Don't be
if
a cocksucker.
You
if you learn anything on the day show, do not
take
be a
pictures.
Cocksucker.
Yeah, don't be a cocksucker, man. If you're having doubts, there are resources. If you can't find resources to tell you it's a fucking male plant, you probably don't know. If it's that big of a problem, send me a picture and I'll tell you. Because, like I said, if I could find the monster that had his male plant somewhere around, I swear to God. It was a garbage strain. The seeds that came off of this garbage. I can't even fucking tell you how upset I will have 30 plants pop up with these in.
Damn, bro.
Yeah. So, my little.
If any of our listeners know that, if any of our listeners can track down this guy, do it. Bring him on the show.
Yeah,
we're gonna ask him some questions.
Yeah. And if you are listening, you motherfucker, almost ruined a good harvest, my guy or girl, whichever you are.
If you are listening. Yeah, we can't discriminate and just say dude.
And just to let
you
know, these
like,
hands are...
People say we're being too sexist.
Everybody.
So.
Yeah, no, I...
It could be a transgender person that did it too, bro. We can't discriminate around here. So whoever did this...
I don't give a fuck. I don't...
Yeah.
Guy, I don't care what you fucking identify
guy,
as.
Guy, girl.
You're a cocksucking
piece girl,
of shit.
Guy,
growing
guy,
male
girl.
Plants outside. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you. I was here. I was pissed. Here I'm still pissed. So you can't imagine how I felt fucking a year ago. But if you're having problems texting your on a real note, not just and shit. Yeah. If you're having problems texting your, if you don't know how to tell, take a picture, send it to me. We will I'll help you. And if you have any questions on rose, you're having problems with your plant, if you're having deficiencies and you need help, what, you know, kind of vitamins, or if you want natural organic methods to feed your plants, including how to make the teas, man. If anybody has any questions with the growing stuff, feel free to reach out to me. Unless you're the fucking cocksucker of those fucking male plants near mine, in this case, go fuck yourself. But if you have any kind of questions, get a hold of us. I'm more than can help. I'm more than willing to help you. Yeah, that's my little side note. Don't be a cocksucker.
Well, damn. With that being said, guys, yeah. Don't be a cocksucker. Let's see what we got left here. Oh, all right, guys. These are our, I guess, like our fans of the week, I guess, would be the right little term we got going on
hell
here.
Yeah.
Some shout-outs or something. Let's see here. Shout-outs this week is Crystal Reed. Thank you for listening. Co Turner, thank you for listening.
Paul needs the shotguns, yeah.
And let's see here. From an email, Beautiful Dolly says, thank you guys for entertaining me. You guys are totally awesome. Well, thank you, and thank you for listening. Shit. Besides that, guys, tune in Monday. We'll be doing a Ask Me Advice, which our last episode of that got over 5,000 listens. So, bam. I guess there's a lot of people needing advice nowadays.
And Lacey's the one to go to, and she has got the most level out of anybody on this team. definitely come to me asking for advice, because I would say slapping a bitch in the face is good.
You know what's crazy? Shane also has a background in counseling. And anybody who knows that that's the crazy. Shout out to you too, Shane.
Yeah, logically, he probably makes a lot of sense. You kept her a bottle or two. He's not coherent, you know.
I don't think he drinks anymore, so I'm proud of him for that. Shout out to you on that, Shane.
Absolutely,
I think,
man.
He's quit drinking. So that's what's up.
He's quit. If he has felt that he has a problem in any way in an area, man, is taking fucking steps to fucking move forward, 110% of my fucking sense, bro. And if you're not choosing drinking, that's cool too, dog, because you're in as fuck. But if you are and you're making a better for yourself and you feel like that's the way to do it, homie, absolutely my utmost.
Same here, bro. Like, a lot of respect for that. See, anything else you want to add to the show, bro? Oh, yeah, yeah. Honestly, that goes for anybody out there that's beat their addiction.
That was kind of going to
like that. I mean, our own co-host, Johnny Buds, bro, talks about how he's beat addiction. I'm not proud of that kid for that.
He did such an amazing job with his man. Going seeing where him and I were at in our lives at one point to see he's at today, he's made awesome, awesome bounds. Most respect to him for those. That also, like we mentioned before, fentanyl with the drugs. We talk about hard drugs occasionally on here. At no point in time are we saying go out and try crack, because crack is whack. Down with dope, up with hope. But if you're struggling with addictions, or if you're struggling with problems, man, talk to some. If you can't talk to somebody, talk to me. I'd rather sit up.
Yeah, if you guys
want to
call
somebody
into the show, if you guys just want to call in on the show and bullshit with us about something, we do it. We got y'all. That number to call in is 516-387-1831. It should be on all our shit. So anytime anybody wants to call in, guys. I mean, there's just, we got live chat on here. You can hit us up during the show. You don't have to use your real name or nothing like that. You know, we don't want to put you on the spot or embarrass you. But I mean, if we can help y'all, I mean, shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I either sit up all night talking to somebody and then hear about another person losing their life to mental health or addiction. I think
the
recent U.S. fight brought a lot of light to the mental health of men. And if you know who I'm talking about, he's an awesome fighter. I don't know how we would out getting the clearance to talk to him, because legitimately I don't want to get mugged. But the dude made a comment for his big win and big battle. You'll see his final words in the fight were talking about mental health. And if you're familiar with that, but it's probably all over social media. He's words made an impact, because I think immediately following the fight, there was a spike in mental health providers and things contacted by men who actually thought that couldn't talk about it, you know, because that's kind of the stigma that guys, you know, we give ourselves.
Right.
You can't be weak. You can't talk about that kind of shit. That's incorrect. You most definitely can't talk about it. You most definitely can get help. So if you're suffering with any kind of addiction, or if any kind of mental health, depression, anxiety, things that you feel like you can't, if you feel like you can't talk to somebody, then I'll talk to you. That doesn't mean men. I mean, anyone struggling with those mental health issues or addiction issues, you need help, you need resources, have them. They're available, and we will do absolutely everything we can. We take insurance,
of course.
So you don't got to worry about that shit, and I'm not going to charge you for anything. So just, if you don't need to talk to you, contact us.
I might charge you in gummy bears, but, you know, we'll talk that over.
Man, I'll give you fucking gummy bears that'll fucking put you to it. Don't trip. But
but yeah, all joking aside.
And another
aside,
thing,
guys,
and,
what
and
are you saying?
All joking aside. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, you go ahead, man.
Okay. But, and another thing, like the stigma of sobriety. myself, I've been off of hard drugs for going on years now. We don't really talk about ourselves a lot in that aspect because, you know, lightheartedness of the show. But in all sincerity, I've been off of hard drugs and that lifestyle for almost 6 years now. No, been 6 years. It's almost been. Everyone has a stigma of sobriety. Everyone has a way that, to tell how to do it. Everyone will tell you that, you know, AA is the way to go or AA is the way to go. And you can't smoke pot. Any of this. Listen, everybody's sobriety is different. If you know that your problem is with crack or meth or heroin or K2, whatever the fucking situation is, and weed helps and weed medicates you and it keeps you going, and or suboxin, man. I mean, if that's your method to stay off of drugs to get yourself better, more power to you. Don't let any fucking judge you. Make a difference in the way that you feel about yourself. Don't let people's perceptions of what feel sobriety should be dictate how happy you are in your existence. Don't let those bother you. Don't let those things fade. Always strive to be better than you the day before. Don't get hard on yourself if you're better, not as good today as you were yesterday. Things happen in life. People are faced with shit, and people that care. And if anybody hasn't told you today, man, I love you guys. And we should be able to say that.
Aww. That is so sweet.
Yeah. I love you, man. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think from a guy like
me. I love y'all, too.
It's just a paint job.
And all of our, I mean, he's right, guys. Like, I wouldn't be doing this show as long as I've been doing it if I didn't have the fans out there like you guys behind me. All over the world, by the way. I'm not talking about just here in America, guys. We got fans in India. Like, right now, hold on. I'll tell you where we got listeners listening right now as we speak. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, and anybody where struggling with anything and you feel like you're alone, you feel like it's too much to bear, you feel like giving up, we've all been there. We've been there. I've been on the edge. You've seen me on the
like
edge, man.
Right now, as of right now, we got 8,000 people, or a little over 8,000 listeners right now listening to us. And we got people right here in the U.S. We got people in India. We got people in Germany. We got people in the United Kingdom, and we got people in China. So, I mean, we got a pretty good amount of listeners over the world, guys. If you want to tell your story on here, you know, let us know. We'll bring you on.
We'll
like he said, if anybody ever needs any help, just let us know. We'll try our hardest to help you guys out. And it doesn't matter if where you're at either in the world. I don't care if you're over in Canada or some shit. We'll try to help you out.
Yeah.
You know, Nebraska, Mexico, Kansas City.
Hands down.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. Anywhere in the world, man. One thing that, you know, I don't mean to even take a serious turn on the thing and bring us down after a really long-hearted episode, but humanity was and is a deteriorating characteristic, man. Have humanity is human, and to be human is to be flawed, but care enough for the person next to you to help them when you see them down. If you are a person who is down and out, and people are putting you down, people are making it hard for you to make it. Cut those people out of your life, man. Reevaluate where you're at, and then necessary steps to change it.
Exactly.
And if you're one of those people putting you down for no fucking reason, if you're one of those people that used to fucking, you know, make people and joke and fucking get at these other people because of their situation, fuck you.
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
I personally would like nothing more to beat the living shit out of people who put people down and, like, feel less than what they are. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all have flaws. We all have weaknesses. And if you're thinks you're not, you have no weakness, you're perfect, you're a fucking liar.
Right.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
And I'd like to fight you. So come get a hold of us.
I'd like to
Natty,
fight you.
I'll pop up, fucker. And you ain't going to like to fight, bro.
Yeah. I would like to fight.
I'd be good at a lot of shit, bro. But these things, I'm all right.
Trust me, I've seen him throw some hands, and I've seen people get those hands, and
not many people are smiling afterwards.
Yeah. Well, one, I don't know if he could smile afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Might do so just with that. No, actually, I didn't have much to laugh at. Oh, we can't talk about that.
Yeah. That's a different show.
Yeah. We'll stick
well,
to laughing
speaking
about
of different shows, bro. In September is going to be the 3-year anniversary of Roasting the World, so we're going to do a big spectacular. And I got a couple
awesome.
Ideas I want to run by you while we're live on here. I'm thinking about doing since my birthday is, you know, at the end of August and the beginning of September is about when we started the show 3 years back. I want to do a roast, get everybody on,
ooh.
Maybe get us a few guests that have been on over the years, and we do a little roast.
Roasting
roast
the
of the King
of Comedy, or are we, boy, that should be fucking fun.
It's going to be roasting
you
me,
do
but
realize
of course
you're giving
we can throw shots
time.
At other people, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. People with tattoos on their face,
but,
probably going to get some jokes.
People that burn things down and go to prison. I mean, I'm sure you'll get something thrown at you. somebody who's clumsy and falls down a lot. I'm sure we'll have a bunch of jokes about her.
Yeah. Oh, no, but not really.
You know, I was thinking about bringing everybody on and then bringing a few guests on that we've had over the years and just doing a nice little roast, you know, keeping it, you know, making fun of everybody, but keeping it lighthearted and humor, you know?
Yeah.
Making sure everybody knows whatever is said is a joke. But I'm thinking about doing that and then maybe even doing a little stand-up special. And if we do that, I want you to be my opener.
Heard. I would be honored. And I mean, like I said, I'm the newest member on the little Roasting the World thing. Our show is the newest. And to the King of Comedy, man, in all sincerity, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, to reach people, to be able to educate with what minimum knowledge I know. And usually, man, it's kind of because I don't have, like, relevant, like, modern-day relevancy in, like, typical forums of speaking to people. Like, I mean, I could try and teach you about physics. Try and teach you how to speak far. I can teach you a lot of shit, but this is a platform and a topic and a way for me to do what I actually enjoy with teaching people about the positives of marijuana and how it's changed.
And
I would like to thank
and I appreciate,
the comedy for the opportunity.
Well, I like to appreciate you for actually doing the show with me, bro. Like, I wish I would have had you come on from the very beginning. I feel like we would have had this show going a lot further than what it is now. I mean, we're doing good now. You know, but I feel like, you know, after 3 years of it, we would have then been a lot further along. And, but it's great, dude. I love doing this show.
It's
I love
only,
doing all
it's
the
only,
shows. Don't get
only
me wrong.
Up from here, man. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Here,
I love
man.
Doing all the Please. Shows. Nobody get it wrong. I don't have a favorite co-host. Even though the other ones aren't listening, you're totally the fave. But I don't have a favorite co-host. I'm just going to throw that out there. Yeah, you, Logan. But,
you are.
But you know the other ones they try. They do a good job.
Yeah, they're great. Personally, I think as far as like, purpose driven shows, Ask Me Levice who have the purest motivation and purest content. Sure, the most pure content out of the shows. And I like I said, man, I really appreciate it. And to the fans out there, I appreciate you. I'm contacted through this, you know, forum here or social media. If you guys want to find out, you know, who we are as far as reaching out to us, just throw us a message. You're at Facebook name or at Twitter or at Instagram, whatever it is, find you. I'm finding people, and we can.
I'm gonna find your people.
We're from there, dog. It's not like I'm gonna send you a Google map of your fucking house. I mean, but
no dick pics. I'm gonna scroll and say that now.
No
dick pics,
no,
people.
Yeah. Probably.
We will draw the line at dick
pics. Realistically, that's probably like the second worst thing you could send.
I'm going to do this. If you guys send us dick pics, we're going to put them live on our chat somehow so everybody can see it.
Fuck that. I'm going to make a post on Facebook. And I'm going to ping your ass and a Google Maps picture. Just fucking screw you over. Literally, the trouser snake is like the most venomous snake ever, and I don't like snakes. So...
Oh, damn. Shit, bro. We got about 2 minutes left of the show. An hour and a half went by that quick. So that is totally fucking awesome, man. Totally fucking awesome.
Johnny Buds, man. Best of wishes. Hope
you missed
for
it,
healing.
Bro.
But hope for healing, and I hope you, the family and everything is good. Keep your mind thought
all joking aside,
like with
man.
Johnny Buds, his family.
He couldn't be here tonight. He had an issue with his grandma. It's understandable. Family comes first with us.
And
so
first.
Yeah.
And hope,
keep her in our prayers if there's anything wrong.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, cross meditations, whatever you got, if they go out there for the family of Johnny Buzz. It's not like a situation that, like, I don't think, you know what I mean? It's
I don't think it's a life or death situation.
Yeah,
I don't think it's anything like that.
But anytime anyone in the roasting the world family has any kind of issues with family or things like that, the people out there listening, keep that in your thoughts, prayers, meditation. Whatever you got going for you, just throw that around because it's the best for you.
And any of you guys ever have any issues, we'll keep them in our thoughts and prayers too, guys. Like, it goes both ways with us.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, absolutely. And feel free to reach out to us.
Oh, anytime, guys. And once again, that number is 516-387-1831. And you guys can call in anytime during the show. It'll be live when you guys call in. So say whatever you guys want to say, whatever, you know. And if you send dick pics, we will put you on blast.
Yep. Yes, we will.
All right. This has been a very educational episode.
Yeah.
You should be on PBS,
Thank
man.
You, sir. No, they would fucking edit the fuck us.
The Pure Bud Station.
Oh, I could just imagine.
Yes.
Yeah, I could just imagine the P fucking write-ins on that one. That's just like, we can't put them there.
Who let them on air? Was it you, Big Bird?
Yeah.
Who the fuck let the guy with the face tattoo on TV? All right, I know you guys can't hear it. I got the little British girl voice that came on. It was 9 days. She's annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
People that don't know,
she
counts us down before the show. She counts us down before the show, guys. And every minute your show will go live in 5 minutes. Your show will go live in 4 minutes.
She sounds like
minutes.
A pirate.
She changes up every time. She just hit me again. 60 seconds.
Yeah, down.
Okay. Down Syndrome Abbey. That's what I'm going to call her. Down Syndrome Abbey.
Down Syndrome Abbey. Not making fun of people with Down Syndrome. That's not my fucking joke. Don't get in panties and a lot.
I'm making fun of people named Abbey.
Yep. Fuck people.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. Your name's Abbey. We like
fuck,
you anyway.
Fuck people named Abbey.
Yeah.
All right. If anybody's learned anything from today's show, it is to always roast the world. Why? Because the world needs roasting.